1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, inside talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4. And, of course, this is starring none other than Mr. Greg Isaac and Joseph Iardo.
Iardo. And I was just thinking about something. I've thought of it before.
Well, what's my name, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think we've talked about it off the air, but if you'd like, we got to have an introduction, had Joseph Iardo in there.
Oh, yeah, we got to put you in there.
Or even after the intro, your own little theme song.
You got to hire the announcer back and everything like that. Is that, you know?
The announcer back.
The announcer, the guy that does the announcing for
Let me go get him.
Oh, yeah. He's actually here, live,
Two rooms over.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so this would be great. I think that's a great idea. Do you have your theme song? Do you know what you would want to be listened as?
I would have to think about that one. I don't know. Why? Yeah. I don't even know.
Or as part of the intro, you know, just add Joseph Iardo.
But Iardo.
Iardo.
Plato.
Yeah.
The Benny Hill theme, I think.
Oh, Benny. How does that go?
I'm not going to do
that. Oh, get the party started? How about that one?
I actually have a theme song in mind. I'll sing a little bit later. It's a tie-in.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got it in mind.
Oh, good. I like it already. This is very cool. So every Thursday, of course, the magazine, a lot of entertainment talk, and we've had some really good stars on.
We've had some great stars. Yeah, Judd Apatow. We had Kevin Smith.
Tina Lifford from the hit series Parenthood, NBC hit series. Stephen Furst,
Imogen Poots. Boo Boo Stewart,
Rami Malek.
There you go.
Wow, this is exciting.
We've had people on from Lost. We're going to have another some audio clips from an interview with someone else from Lost today.
Oh, wow, excellent! So we're really rolling. And you got some movies too.
Yeah, we've got plenty of movies. We've got a contest that we'll announce here in a second. But we also have reviews today of Texas Chainsaw 3D, Not Fade Away, Promised Land, Struck by Lightning, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, I heard that's a good one.
Yeah, could
be. We'll have to see. Is it
we'll see.
We don't know if it's five zines or no zines.
Or Lincoln.
Lincoln got a nominated 12 Academy Awards. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
12.
No,
12.
I know.
Unbelievable.
My TV needs fixing after seeing that. But and we've had some interview clips with Alexandra Daddario and Tanya Ramon from Texas Chainsaw 3D, as well as John Magaro from Not Fade Away. And the highlight of today's show is we have the voicemail messages from some of the some of the winners are mixed in, but these are some honorable mentions as well of our contest for the Texas Chainsaw 3D. Prize packs that we offered last week.
Oh, yeah.
So people called in, did their impressions. So we'll do that probably in like the second half an hour of the show. So stay tuned for that. There, I guarantee you're going to be laughing.
But let's describe what impressions were required for new listeners.
They had to do their best impression of a chainsaw, as well as an evil laugh or a blood-curdling scream. So everyone had to do the chainsaw.
You mean what it sounds like?
Yeah, what it sounds like a chainsaw, and they also had to do a blood, or they could choose between a blood-curdling scream
or
an evil laugh. And I will say that I regret doing the contest because I got some very strange voicemails.
Really? Oh, you did?
Some people, I don't even know if it was for the contest, maybe it was just a coincidence, because some people didn't do the chainsaw. They just went off and did their own creepy thing.
Did the laugh? You mean like...
No, this is...
Like Joseph, ha, ha, I know where you live.
It was creepier than that. It was even creepier than that.
Really?
I brought it. I will say that.
Oh, my God.
And I hope that some of the people are okay. One person sounded like they were having some sort of seizure. a 30-second seizure, and another person.
What people will go through to get tickets.
Some people use and they got a T-shirt as well. They got a little shot glass, all with Leatherface on it, right, George Clooney? And no, I'm kidding. Inside joke. And, the ticket to the movie and a poster. So they got some cool things, but someone even brought out some props to do this.
Wow,
and I hope that I just hope that everyone is okay. I just want to say that.
Wow. So they really took it seriously?
They took it scarily serious.
Yes, they did.
Terrifyingly
wow.
seriously.
And not only that, everyone gets to hear Dave.
No, it was you.
I'm going to do one too.
All three of us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Either a laugh or a scream.
We asked our listeners to do it. Why wouldn't we go out on the limb and do it too?
Fine.
And the chainsaw.
It's only fair, Dave. Okay.
We'll work on
that. To that, but yeah.
Work
how
on
was
it
that?
A lot of work.
It started good though, right?
No.
Oh, really?
You probably wouldn't.
Terrible.
No, really. I heard it next door.
Yeah, that was something else that you heard.
So anyway, okay. Where were we? All right. So we're gonna do what movie reviews?
Let's start with our next contest. We'll mention this maybe a couple times today, and then I think there's still time to mention it next week. I'm giving away VIP seats and an advanced screening of the Jason Statham crime thriller Parker. Okay, this movie comes out on Friday, January 25th at movie theaters throughout the Valley and, across the nation as well. But there's a screening that is the night before at Arizona Mills, Harkins Arizona Mills. And if you go to Phoenix Movie Examiner or also to the BreakRadioShow.com website in the article section, there is a link where you can print tickets to see this screening for free. And, of course, seating is first come, first served. However, I have 5 VIP tickets that's good for you and a guest if you win this to skip the line, go straight to the VIP section. You got reserved priority seating, and you could see the movie for free before anyone else.
Wow, nice.
So, but here are the requirements. This time it's the same phone number. So if you called last time, go ahead and save that same number. But here's the phone number again, 206-309-9823. And I'm asking you this time to leave a voicemail message with your full name and email address, of course. And make sure you spell out your email address if there's any difficulty there. And I'm going to ask you to recite a line from your favorite Jason Statham movie in your best English accent.
Oh.
So have you seen some Jason Statham films?
No, but my name is Paul McCartney. I'm about to get loud.
Yeah.
That's close.
How was it?
Well, at least he sort of has an English accent.
Yeah, he's on the right track there.
You've never seen, The Transporter or...
Trans who?
I
did.
Or Crank.
The Transporter.
That's him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Transporter guy,
Wasn't
Crank.
He James Bond?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
He's also...
Aaron, please take Dave out of the studio immediately.
The Mechanic he was in. He's got a long list of films that he's been in. And
there was one he was in that I loved called London, where he played a gentleman by the name of Bateman. And I just loved that.
Oh, Jason Bateman, excellent.
No.
Horrible Bosses.
See, and here
then
we
you
go
have,
again.
You have other things like, that's the only one I forget.
There you go.
Yeah. No. Okay, don't pay attention to Dave. Just... don't, because we're going to get
like
some
this
stranger
yesterday
voicemails.
Too.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was very weird. Okay, wait till you hear my chainsaw.
Yes. So, again, 206-309-9823. You can do this anytime in the next week or two, but I would do it as soon as possible so that you beat the deadline. The deadline is Tuesday, January 22nd at 11:59 p.m., and again, I'm going to ask you to call this number and recite a line from your favorite Jason Statham movie in your best English accent. Look it up online. Look up the movie. Find some quotes from it. And, hey, easy enough, Just
it sounds like it.
Yeah, easy.
Unlike this buzzsaw, curdling scream and laugh.
It's a little, that
I
was
mean,
a little tougher. That was a little tougher. This, it's an English accent. It's easy.
Yeah, that shouldn't be great. Can you do it?
I probably can, but I'll wait and save it until
after
the contest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
good.
We'll have to do the contest.
We're going to do that.
We'll participate in that as well. So, and we'll play those on the air when we review the film on Thursday, January 31st. So, there's plenty of time here. So we'll mention the phone number again one more time before the 3 o'clock hour.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you want to get into some reviews?
Yes.
All right. Texas Chainsaw 3D, since that is the biggie here, Alexandra Daddario, again, we have a couple interviews clips from her, plays a young woman who travels to Texas with her friends to collect an inheritance. Little does she know that an encounter with a chainsaw-wielding killer is part of the reward. So were you a fan of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre? No?
No, I don't like horror movies.
No.
He gets too scared.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Greg?
I like romantic
comedies. The very original, of course, you know, that's a cult classic. And then I think we were saying last week, it's either the third or the fourth one in the, kind of the original mm-hmm. series, the one with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger, obviously before they were stars,
yeah.
but I think it was made in like 94 or 95. But that one I sort of enjoyed as well.
Yeah, and then, mm-hmm. of course, they had a couple years ago, they mm-hmm. had the prequel,
yeah.
The beginning or something like that.
And then there was Jessica Biel one.
Jessica Biel, but, yeah. So they've had some other
yeah.
attempts.
Yeah,
this one is actually a direct follow-up.
Flashdance.
That's Jennifer Bills.
All right, I was close. The last name was close.
Close,
but they're both treats. So
close, but no cigar.
Right. So yeah, this
Monica
is
Lewinsky. So
this is a direct follow-up to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They actually play scenes from the original film during the credits, the beginning credits, and then they throw a kind of a prologue, an epilogue for from the last film, and it serves as a prologue for this. Where they, tell you what happens after the story, literally, maybe an hour after that story, maybe even less. And then they take it from there. It's not the it doesn't really scare you that much. I'm a huge horror fan. I love the collection. I think everyone knows that. I thought that Mother's Day was on my best list. One of the best horror movies that I've seen in a very long time. So I'm a huge fan of horror movies. This one really didn't scare me. However, it has plenty of gore. Leatherface. He saws the human flesh. He slices it.
Yeah.
He slaughters it. You'll probably be turning your eyes away from this. But it does earn points for trying because it tries to make Leatherface, who is the ultimate horror villain, who does all these horrible things in all these movies, makes him into an unexpected anti-hero. Kind of makes him
really?
Turn out to be the kind of the good guy. So you'll have to see it, and I don't want to spoil any surprises
wow.
here, but it has something to do with the main character, Alexandra Daddario, because she is related to him. She's the cousin of Leatherface. So it's kind of interesting that that they actually tried something different than just a bunch of teens going out and getting killed, right?
Yeah, more story to it. You know what also is interesting is that when you look at these main horror franchises,
mm-hmm.
with obviously Texas Chainsaw and Leatherface and... you look
Freddy.
At Michael Myers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Freddy, not as much.
It's a little different.
Yeah, because I don't think he has a relative. Oh, he does, actually. We found out in Freddy's Dead.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, and obviously in Friday the 13th, there's always family involved in
yeah.
some way or another. So it's kind of interesting how they all implement that. But yeah, it took me a second that I'm like, oh, wait, Freddy didn't have a relative. And then, yeah, and Freddy's Dead.
They did get a lot of the original cast members back from the original Texas Chainsaw
yeah.
Massacre to play in that prologue that I told you about. And they look a little bit older and doesn't quite look right. And maybe the timing isn't even right because if this girl is, maybe 20 years old,
right.
That doesn't, the original one was in the 70s, right?
Sure, yeah, it looks
so,
a little different.
Yeah, and they never tell you exactly what time, what year it is. But,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving it a C. It is good enough.
What's a C?
Three zines.
Three zines.
So, yeah, it's right there on the edge, but it's still, I think, worth seeing, especially if you are a fan of the original.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it in 3D. They didn't screen this for press.
Wow.
I didn't choose to see it in 3D. I don't think I missed out on anything, but of course it is called Texas Chainsaw 3D, so you might want to go for it anyway.
Wow. Well, how was the theater? Was it packed?
I will say there was only one other person there.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, it was sad. It was, but it did. It was number one at the box office, and they are mm-hmm. considering making a sequel to this,
It was number one last week?
It was number one. I forget exactly how much. I think it was like $18 million or something.
Yeah.
It beat out Django Unchained and all the
it
other
did.
Movies. Yeah. So...
Wow.
It is a decent, I wouldn't say a decent horror movie, but it's a decent experiment of a horror movie, you know, worth seeing.
Oh, interesting.
And I thought it was great because I got a chance to talk to Alexandra Daddario, the lead actress of this film, and you also know her from the Percy Jackson films, the Olympians, yes, that came out a couple years ago, and she's in later this year in Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. I think that comes out in August. Oh. So I asked her about her character, and this is what she had to say.
I see her as a character who doesn't really feel like she belongs at first in the beginning of the film, and she's sort of a darker character, but a pretty normal girl, and then she finds out that she comes from a different family than she thought she did, and finds out that she's Leatherface's cousin, and I think that the way that she deals with that information is, and the sort of evolution of her character was really interesting and really interesting to play, and makes this film a little bit different than other conventional horror films.
And that's exactly, you know, why I kind of liked the film a little bit. Not, you know, I didn't love it, but it is different than other, you know, especially remakes. I think the last Friday the 13th remake, that one was terrible because it didn't try anything new. It was just, you know, let's throw these teens in here and have them get slaughtered.
It was almost basically like a sequel in a way between, like, the first one and second one or something like that. Yeah. So, I agree with you there.
But I knew when I was talking to her, I was thinking of you, Dave, because you don't like horror movies, right?
No.
You tell me every time I bring in a review of a horror movie,
I fall off my seat.
Right, right. So I asked her, I said, what is your take on horror movies? Are you a horror movie fan? And this is what she said.
I'm a horror fan in that they're very effective on me. I get scared very easily.
Yes.
When I was younger, my mom used to rent us Hitchcock films. So I saw a couple of those and I was terrified by them, like Psycho and The Birds and stuff like that. But I'm such a scaredy cat and I'm so bad with gore that I hadn't seen any of the Texas Chainsaw movies, even though I was familiar with what it was. And, you know, when I was watching the Texas Chainsaw films to prepare for this one, you know, sometimes I'd have to pause my DVD and take a break and then go back and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but
that's interesting.
But of course, it's a completely different story when you ask the same question of Tanya Ramond. Again, she is from Lost. She played Alex on Lost, the ABC television series. And so this is what she said when I asked her about horror movies.
Like, I have a very high tolerance for gore and blood and all that stuff, so I'm like the perfect horror movie viewer, because I, like, don't get scared very easily, I mean, or at least grossed out, so I can really, like, stomach anything. So as a result, I've watched a lot of really disgusting stuff that that I probably should never have seen, but yeah, I am. You know, some of my favorite movies are horror movies, like, you know, The Shining and The Birds, and I'm like a movie fan across the board, so if a movie's well done, then I love it. It doesn't really matter what the genre is.
You mean The Shining is a horror movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. I think it's different. I mean, it's strange that these actors.
Well, then I sort of like that.
Well, it's different. I mean, because I
love
Hostel.
Johnny. Was that the one?
Yes.
You like that type of horror, you know? That's,
well,
that's
I consider that more of a thriller, intense thriller.
Yeah.
It's not
kind of a cross, yeah.
I don't like the, you know, just blood and guts for the sake of blood and guts.
Right.
But if there's a, like The Sixth Sense was intriguing to me, a phenomenal. The Shining was okay. What's some others that are not blood and gore, but thrillers?
Probably a lot of the Hitchcock
films. Wait Till Dark. Wait Until Dark, remember?
I don't think I've seen that.
Audrey Hepburn?
No, this might 1934?
No.
This might be, 1950.
But that, Aaron, do you remember Wait Till Dark? Maybe not. Okay.
This might surprise.
That was a really thriller.
This might surprise Dave because I don't think he's seen this. But the very original Halloween was like that because there really was no blood in that movie.
Oh.
And it was more of a kind of a little, you know, thriller leading up to some stuff.
Yeah.
And course, you had Jamie Lee Curtis.
And that's what I told you about The Collector, the prequel to The Collection that we reviewed a couple weeks ago. That had one drop of blood in the entire movie.
Okay, so you're combining horror with thrillers and intense movies.
Right, there are varying degrees and varying types of
like
horror.
Seven, types of like movies. Remember the movie Seven?
Yes.
Or,
right.
Yeah, okay, those are interesting movies.
Right, but I love, you know, blood and guts, and I have to turn away. I'm not like Tanya Ramond. I don't have a very high tolerance of it, but I love the feeling that it gives me. I love to be scared.
Wow.
You know? So,
the adrenaline?
The adrenaline,
you know. You know what's interesting is I remember Monica Aquina, of course, the star of Freddy vs. Jason, mm-hmm. had said something similar, that she was afraid of, you know, Freddy Krueger movies, and then all of a sudden she's a main character in Freddy vs. Jason, so she has to do battle against both of them. But you also look at what's interesting in most of these movies where, you know, a character possibly is being chased, or maybe there's a scene where they're walking around alone. A lot of times they don't know when the guy's going to drop, you know, jump out and get them. So it adds to the experience. It makes it seem real.
What about sharks or a shark?
Jaws considered horror.
Oh, yeah, Jaws.
Yeah. Same with the San Jose
Sharks.
That
was good. So that's you can – okay, so I think it's just the way you title it, perhaps.
Well, there's some that are, like you said, that could be bloody and gory. There's some that are
more –
Well,
the shark – the Jaws was sort
of a mind-type thriller. Yeah, Jaws is a horror movie. Yeah,
so maybe there is a possibility. Yeah. But I like romantic comedies.
Yeah, you do.
So,
oh, Mamma Mia!
Right.
Okay.
And I, of course,
you
I,
like that too.
I like that, and I love the actress there.
Meryl Streep.
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried.
Oh yeah, I'm working on
the
that
one
for
that's
a blind
not 90
date.
Years
yes.
old date.
Yes. Blind date. Why a blind date?
I mean, a real date.
I know what she looks like.
Oh.
I think about it every night. All right, so. Tanya Ramon, I also asked her, do you have any memories about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? And this is what she said.
I don't know. I was like 12 or 13 years old. I can't remember. And, you know, I really do think it was my father, which is crazy because my dad was like loved movies but was not a, never a huge like horror movie fan, so to speak. But I remember he showed me The Shining for the first time, and then sometime after that we watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I remember him telling me, like, yeah, this is a slasher movie, but it's really the first kind of movie to do this kind of thing, and it was, like, very famous in its time for all the new things that it did, and it's going to be really freaky, but you got to watch it. And I remember kind of, I can't remember if I actually watched it with him, but he definitely gave it to me to watch. And just that, oh, that terrifying scene when they've kidnapped her, and she's sitting at dinner, having dinner with the family, and then the horrible scene where he's... what's his name? The grandpa's hammering her to death and with the over the bucket and all that stuff. Like that kind of crap just really remained vivid in my mind. So, to be part of like kind of a remaking of that movie was like a really cool feeling. Texas Chainsaw Massacre probably is also like the best title of any movie in history, and so that in of itself was like a cool thing to be a part of.
And of course, you know, Leatherface. You know, all kidding aside, you know who he is now, right?
Yeah, now I do.
He wears other people's faces.
I didn't know
he
that.
He takes them off. It's
really?
Not just leather. Yeah, it's actually someone else's face. And they do this in the new movie.
I was going to say, should we scare Dave a little more?
What? No,
it's
Jurassic Park. Is that
story.
A horror movie?
What?
I saw you wink.
It's based off a true story.
Oh, yeah, well, I knew that.
Yeah.
No, it is.
No, I know. I knew that.
Oh, okay.
No, really.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Ardo.
Yeah. Hi, Ardo.
Okay.
My name's Ardo, by the way.
Ardo.
You've been saying Ardo. It's like you're...
you said Plato and you really meant it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he cuts off people's faces and then he wears the... he sews them.
I had no idea
everything.
That was the case.
So, you know, but what is the appeal of this character? What is the appeal of Leatherface? I went straight to Tanya Ramon and asked her, what is the appeal of Leatherface? Is what she said.
I mean, I think the creepiest part about Leatherface is that he's got, like, a human side to him, kind of, in a way, you know? And so I guess in some sick part of yourself, not that you can identify with this guy because he's a crazed murderer, but at least you see that he's got a human side to him. He's not just this, like, he's not an alien, he's not a monster, he's not from some other planet, he's not without a soul. So he's, like, a disturbed, real person is, like, kind of what creeps me out the most. And so that's what I think is, like... the most terrifying part of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh.
You know, even though it is a slasher movie, it's still got that, like, human quality to it, which makes it very creepy. And in terms of it comparing with, like, the other remakes, I mean, the nice thing about our movie is that the filmmakers really paid a lot of attention to sort of not only mimicking kind of the way the original was made in terms of, like, look and feel, but also trying to make this, like, a direct follow-up to the movie from the 70s. And so that's what was really nice, is that the way the movie opens is, like, a direct continuation of where the first one ends.
And I have to say that Tanya Ramon was a delight to speak with, you know, just very down-to-earth. Really enjoyed my conversation with her.
That is so cool. She sounds very, very nice.
Yeah, she was very enthusiastic and excited. And, you know, sometimes when you talk with these actors and actresses, I'm sure that they probably get the same questions all day long. And my interview was, you know, pretty much close to the end of the day. And she just had, I mean, every bit of enthusiasm as if she had just woken up, too.
Wow, that is very cool.
Yeah, so great, great actress.
Let's get her on again.
Absolutely.
All right.
So what do you want to do now? Do you want to do Not Fade Away review, or do you want to take a break? It's up to you.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we take a quick break? You're right. This went zipping by. And when we come back from our break, we will continue more movie reviews.
We'll do our voicemails.
Movie reviews. Oh, the voice. Movie reviews? No?
There you go.
What did I say? Movie
mover.
Bloopers?
Yeah.
I did?
Mover.
What's a mover? What's a shaker? All right. And we'll be right back with more of the entertainment show, The Magazine.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And I'm singing in the rain. Okay, welcome back. That sounds like old type of singing, right?
That's Dave's idea of his chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway, welcome back, The Magazine, and we're doing a lot of entertainment stuff. Aaron, that was good. I like that. Yeah, let's do that again. Back now. No, okay, not really now, but okay. That's good stuff, like the 19... When was that?
If people have the webcam...
1936.
Oh, yeah. Hey, was it? 20s. Oh, the 20s.
Tune into the webcam. You'll see Dave dancing here.
Oh, yeah. I am dancing on BreakRadioShow.com. Anyway, thank you, Aaron, for the great bumper music. Now, what are we going to do? The screams now.
Yes, we have our chainsaws and screams and evil laughs. This is what you have been waiting for. These are hilarious and also kind of scary. So, Aaron, it's in the chainsaw contest file, by the way. So, of course, again, to recap, we had people, if they wanted to win the prize pack, including a ticket for the movie, run of engagement ticket, A shirt, a poster, a shot glass, several other things that they won. I think some horror.
And how did
movies.
They have to? How did? How can they win?
They had to
or
call.
How did they win?
They had to call the phone number, our contest line, the Phoenix Movie Examiner contest line, and they had to leave a voicemail with their impression of a chainsaw, their best impression of a chainsaw, and they could also do a blood curdling scream or an evil laugh for extra points.
Wow!
So. Here's two of them. First, we've got Michael M. This is kind of your standard chainsaw. Here we go. Yeah.
That was good.
He did a good job, right?
That was pretty good. That was good. Well, he never got it started, but...
Right. Kind of just...
But get the party started.
Yeah, it was out of juice, but yeah, the...
They get
part.
Started here, I'll tell you that. Joe R. Here's Joe R.
But
with
there's
his,
no screams on that one?
Not on that one. This okay. one, no screams either, but he okay. got the laugh down. Joe R.
That's good.
It's more like a dog.
And these guys won the thing? Or they, are they?
Not all of them win. I don't want to tell you who won okay. Since
Can
I was the
guess?
Judge. And.
Well, oh, you haven't done it yet.
Well, I know they have won. They've already gotten their prizes, you know. But these are, yeah.
I'll tell you which one we like.
All right, you can tell us. You know, I really kind of liked this one.
You're giving us a hint.
I'm giving you a hint, but I really kind of like this one. I'll just say that this one, the person really went out, her name is Gladys D.
So she's old.
I don't know any young people using Gladys, but, wow. you know, she's probably young, right? Okay, well, anyway.
Or a singer. Gladys Knight.
Here's Gladys.
She did it in reverse.
Wow, Gladys.
Oh, that's scary. Oh.
You know who she's... Whoa, she's still going. You know who she sounds like is the mom that looks like the dad in the Goonies.
Wow.
That little angry lady.
That was wild.
Wow. She did a good job. And
that was pretty good.
Yeah. There was some more there really sounded like she had... some problems with her throat, I'll say, by the end of that. But I cut it down. I will just say that.
Oh, wow.
That was 30
nice
seconds.
Nice job.
She ran the 3 minutes of the voicemail out, I will
oh,
say.
Oh, my.
But now here's this one. There's something about Jenny G's, the next one. Really, really creepy. You won't know it until the end why it's creepy, but it's just... I had nightmares after
now,
this.
Now, before what? You play that, now yeah. let's just remind the listeners what they're listening to.
They're listening to chainsaws and evil laughs and screams.
Based on the contest that, Joseph, that you were doing.
Yes, to win tickets and a prize pack to Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Okay, just as a reminder. Here we go.
Here she is.
No, 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 no,
oh, that was good.
That was the best part. Thank you.
Who was she talking to?
To me, I guess.
Oh, that was good. I would vote for her, by the way.
It was very... It kept me up at night. Because
she had a sweet voice at that.
She sounded cute. Yeah.
She was very polite in you know, telling me her name and her email address. And, you know, thank you so much for the opportunity. And then all of a sudden, this... sound
wow.
that came out of her.
That's how most of them are.
Yeah, yeah. So now this one, I'm really hoping that they're okay. I think that it sounds like a couple, or someone got
is
their friend
legal?
Involved.
Can you do that?
I don't know. They got a prop out here. I will say that.
Okay.
Everything was legal. I'll say that. I just hope that everyone. Alexandria M. Mm-hmm. I hope that she's okay after this. Here it is.
Hey, are they allowed to use props?
I didn't say it wasn't allowed.
Oh, wow, clever.
It's just the
actually
way,
not that clever.
Well, the way she, I think it was pretty clever because the way that she was screaming, I really.
You think she dropped it?
I think like, she did. I did hear that story on the news about the chainsaw that dropped on an Alexandria's foot.
But she won, though.
Yeah. I will say that she did win. That is one of the winners.
Oh, it was?
That was one of the winners.
I was
impressed that they, you know, because no one else used the
prop. How many winners were there?
There were four winners.
Okay.
Winners. And now finally, this is the creepiest one. This one, I don't know if this was for the contest or just a random call that I got. This is from Keith Yu. Here we go.
Man, music is my life. It's like Iron Butterfly in a Vita Tagata, baby. Boy, that's heavy. Anyhow, then my name is Keith. Oh, I want to hear the following. I want to hear... What is that, the Rambo 3 soundtrack? All right, thank you, bye.
Yeah.
Well, that was confusing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But I did listen to the Iron Butterfly.
Are you sure that wasn't you?
No.
So,
no Russian.
I could see you doing that, calling into a contest, but talking about something totally different.
Yeah,
and I loved the prize. No, it wasn't me.
So what is your chainsaw? And what do you have for us, Dave?
I haven't even rehearsed. Greg, go ahead.
Here we go.
Here's mine.
Oh, that
no
was
idea.
Good. Oh, wow. you win. Okay.
Thanks, Greg.
I have a musical chainsaw.
You're singing the New Year's song?
Yeah.
Happy
was
New
that,
Year to you,
was that
too,
the
Dave.
New Year's song?
Yes.
Okay, there
that
we go.
That was scary. But I want to thank everyone for calling in. Everyone, even if I didn't play yours, you know, thank you so much.
That was very
for calling
cool stuff.
In. It was a lot of fun, and I hope that we have plenty to play for the other contest, the Jason Statham contest.
That is very cool stuff.
Yes. So now, of course, I also got a chance to talk to John Magaro for Not Fade Away. So let me review Not Fade Away here. This is... John Magaro plays a young man who, in 1964, New Jersey, decides to form a rock band with his best friends after the Rolling Stones appear on television. This was directed by David Chase, who created The Sopranos. Do you like The Sopranos?
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
Okay, I never have HBO, so I wasn't, you know.
Oh, I have HBO.
Okay. So this is kind of it's not a musical movie, but it's a movie about music. It's about, it's set in 1964. It's an average movie at best, but, you know, and it's very
What's
strange.
What's it called? Not Fade Away?
Not Fade Away. There's a song from the 1960s called
I
Not
remember
Fade Away.
That.
Yeah, and I want to, I'm wearing their shirt. See here, it's Not Fade mm-hmm. Away. John Magaro is on my shirt. It's the band.
What are you doing on your shirt?
Get off of my shirt. No, but it was, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to wear this shirt, and they also sent me a nice record, an actual record from the movie.
Oh, wow.
I don't have a record player, so if someone wants to loan me one. It's an average movie at best. There's too much story in here. It's in one movie. It's just too much story. It's very bizarre at the end. It gets really trippy, dreamlike almost. The leading actor, John Magaro, he was one of my favorite actors in 2012. He gave a great performance. Relative unknown. He's been in some movies. The Box with that Cameron Diaz, mm-hmm. kind of a horror movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and My Soul to Take as well, another mm-hmm. horror movie. And I think he was in a Panic Room as well with Jodie Foster. So he gives one of the year's finest performances. And David Chase, you know, if you've watched The Sopranos, you know that he puts a lot of detail into his movies. He creates a very authentic atmosphere, and as an audience, your senses are saturated with this time period and all this music, and you know, very interesting film. So I'm giving it a C again. That is three zines. So it is worth watching, but it's not one of the year's best movies. It's just a little bit too weird for that. But now John Magaro, I asked him. I got a chance to talk with him. I was just so happy to talk to him. I was a fan, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. But here's what he had to say. This is in the Not Fade Away folder. Here's what John Magaro had to say about his character.
I think Doug is kind of a typical teenager. He's trying to find an identity. He's looking for that in kind of any place that he can. He looks for that in his family. He looks for that in a band, in his friends, in a girl. and, you know, it leads to a lot of frustration and anger and depression and, you know, a lack of understanding. But I think by the end he has kind of a moment of transcendence where he realizes that he has to really find that identity within himself.
Yeah, so an interesting take on the character, and I could see that. And, you know, one of the questions I always love to ask actors or actresses or filmmakers, you know, what did you learn about yourself from this project? And this is what John had to say.
I sort of came into this film in a state that I dog is in throughout the film, this frustration and this not understanding kind of where you are at in life and not really understanding who you are or what you're doing, and this just total confusion. So I think I walked away from it with a bit of that transcendence that Doug has, and now trying to trust the universe to take care of you and not necessarily rely on other people to make you happy, you know. But that's a tough thing, because I feel like even for Doug and even for myself, it's a cycle that, you know, you fall back into the pits of, but you try and do the best you can with those lessons.
And that is an important lesson.
Yeah.
You know, just trust the universe, and think bad things happen all the time to people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you just got to kind of roll with it. And as actors, we don't think that, you know, sometimes, you know, they have to audition for these roles. This guy isn't just a well-known actor, right? But he really puts his heart and soul into this performance, and it really comes through, you know?
That is very cool.
I was going to mention with this movie as well, I noticed just off the top of my head, when you think of actors that you always see in a ton of movies every year but normally don't have the starting role, one comes to mind in this movie, and he was also in The Collection, which you loved, and that's Christopher McDonald.
Yes.
You know, when I say his name, people go, who? And then when they look at him, they'll go, oh, yeah, Christopher McDonald. I've seen him the last 20 years. Others that come to mind, Danny Trejo, obviously not in this, who obviously with the machete movies,
right.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously the main guy in that, but, you know, we see him all the time in movies, and in the past people will go, hey, there's that guy again,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, Keith David comes to mind a little bit, and then another one, kind of James Remar, who obviously plays Dexter's dad, and Dexter, guys that you always see, and you go, oh, yeah, those guys, wait, who are they?
How about Dana Delaney? Ever hear of her?
Yeah,
I have. Yeah,
how have you heard of her?
Is she still around?
Yeah, I looked her up last night.
Yeah, you did.
Because I was watching Tombstone, and I go, I wonder what happened there. One of my favorite movies, Tombstone, the one, you know, Val Kilmer, phenomenal acting. And so I Googled her last night, and she still has a website. She looks really good. She's 56 years old, I believe.
Wow.
But she looked really good.
Way too young for you, Dave.
She wouldn't know that song, that movie.
Wait till you really hear my chainsaw imitation.
So, but John,
does it include both yourself and Dana?
But John, do you like egg cream soda? By the way, random question.
Egg cream soda.
Cream soda.
Oh.
Egg cream?
Egg cream soda.
Really? Absolutely not. I've never even heard of it.
It's just a random question.
I thought
it was from the old
times. Hey, now you're getting like me. Like, where'd that come from?
No, it kind of ties in here. But John Magaro, I asked him, you know, what was it like to work with David Chase? You know, of course, again, of Sopranos fame, and this is what he said.
I mean, everything he does has a tremendous amount of specificity, and he's very detail oriented. There was a moment when we, you know, kind of shut down shooting because we didn't have the right egg cream glass, and he wanted the exact egg cream glass that would have been at this diner during that period, which I think is, you know, a good thing, because I you know, you can trust a director who is so focused on every detail. I think it shows in his work, and it shows in the end product. We also had a great artistic team. Our art director, Ford Wheeler, put together a beautiful world that we got to come into every day, and these sets that we'd walk into, it was like stepping back in time. So,
and that does feel like that when you see this movie.
Yeah.
You feel like you're, you know, stepping back in time and you're in the 1960s. So if you like those kind of movies, if you grew up in that time period, I think you really get a lot out of the movie because of that.
That is very cool, and what a professional, you know, guy David Chase must be.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, neat.
And, you know, we talked with Imogen Poots a few weeks ago, right, or a couple months ago, about A Late Quartet. And we asked her, because in that movie she played the violin, right? And we asked her, and she said that she did a little bit of playing of the violin. Now, John Magaro in this movie, he sings and he plays the drums. And I asked him, you know, was that really you? And he says, it was him playing, but, you know, it wasn't really him on the soundtrack. They had to lay some other stuff over that, but he learned the basic beats so that they could lay all that down. So, you know, I asked him, you know, are you still interested in doing more with music and stuff like that? And this is what he said.
Playing rock and roll music with these four other guys, it's really kind of a euphoric experience. It's this amazing feeling when you have these guys who come together and create this sound. So it's a great feeling, and I'd love to keep doing it. I have a long way to go as a drummer if I was ever going to really pursue it. You know, I can do the basics, but there's a lot more that I need to learn. And singing, you know, I enjoy singing. I never really considered myself a singer before this. I would sing in the shower, in the car, and that was about the extent of it. But, you know, I'm open to singing again.
I caught him there. He wasn't telling the whole truth.
He wasn't.
He wasn't. He has sang before.
He did.
Yes. And now, have you ever seen this Coke Walmart ad, came out a few years ago, mm-hmm. around Christmas time. The holidays are here again, and I'm inviting all my friends. They're the people who are close to me, my extended family. You've got my mom, my sis, my brother, my surprisingly cool stepmother. You ever heard of this one?
Absolutely not, but I like it.
I didn't see it. I'll use it a bit later, but that was him.
It is an excellent song. I have it still in my playlists, and I just have these wonderful memories. They played it on the big screen, you know, before movies and stuff. Yeah. He goes through, he's at this holiday party that he's thrown. He's giving everyone these bottles of Coke and Coca-Cola. And, you know, he's got his judo coach, his MySpace friends, his Twitter list, his his best friend and his online date, the first girl that he ever kissed. Then he says to her, you're beautiful. I love you. So it's a very touching commercial, and so I caught him on that, and I told him, you know, that is the reason I wanted to talk to him, you know, and I didn't want to make fun of him. He might have thought I was making fun of him, but, you know, that commercial really does mean a lot to me. It has a special place in my heart, and, you know, I promise you, if you listen to this, you know, look it up on YouTube or go to a Phoenix Movie Examiner or on the Break Radio Show website. We've got the full interview with him up.
Oh, cool.
And you can. There is a link to the to this
song.
This song to this commercial, and you will not be able to get it out of your head all year, and you will keep it on your playlist for next
Christmas.
Interesting. So this is what he said when I asked him about that commercial.
I had known that director who directed that for a while before then. I didn't think he knew I sang or anything, but he called me in to be a part of it, and I thought he was crazy. I thought, what is he doing? But he really wanted me to do it, and he really fought for me to do it. And the whole time I was like, no one is going to – I can't sing. I can't do this. And but people seem to really enjoy it. I just, you know, take it all kind of in stride. You know, it's certainly good to have fans or whatever. But, you know, it's always about focusing on kind of the next thing and continuing to do good work, you know. So onward and upward.
And the two kids that she had before she ever met my dad.
Wow, I've got
it memorized.
That is so cool.
It is a very catchy.
I'm reading
tune.
The article. Well, actually, not a different article right now. I see, but yeah, I'm going to have to check that out on YouTube after the show.
I promise you that you will love it. It definitely. He's got a lot of fans because of this, and I hope he doesn't think that I was making fun of him because of it. You know. Of course, he's making this movie where he's got this really fine performance, and this really cool. But anyway, so we've got three more movies that are coming out. Now, a couple of them came out last weekend, or one of them came out last week, and one was at a Zero Dark Thirty was at just one theater. Now it's expanding. So let's talk about Promised Land first. Have you seen the commercials for this? Matt Damon?
I have.
John Krasinski?
I have seen it, and I didn't see it yet, though.
Okay.
Because the reviews weren't all that great online.
Right.
Now we're going to hear another one.
They're kind of mixed, let's see if I agree with anyone. Matt Damon plays a corporate salesman who is sent with his partner, Frances McDormand, to close a key rural town in his company's expansion plans. He's got this natural gas company. What seems like an easy job becomes complicated by a grassroots campaign led by another man, John Krasinski, from The Office. So this was directed by Gus Van Sant. And it was written by John Krasinski and Matt Damon. Matt Damon was originally supposed to direct this, but then it just got to be too much for him. Excuse me. it's a very pleasurable experience. You watch this movie. This is a small town. You know, it's kind of like going into Andy of Mayberry, right?
Oh, I love that.
It's a very pleasant experience, but it's too pleasurable for this kind of story. This is a very – it should be a very complicated story about is he doing the right thing by bringing this natural gas company into town and, you know, digging up the land and yes, he's giving all this money to the people, but it's kind of like at this risk of is it going to destroy their crops and kill their cows and everything like that. But you never get the seriousness of it. It's just a very, you know, again, pleasant experience. You're very comfortable watching this movie, and it's it doesn't really quite feel as weighty as it should. You know, had this came out maybe as a spring movie or something, people might not have been so hard on it. But they were thinking, you know, this should be a really important movie. You got great actors, a great director, Matt Damon, of course, attached.
Yeah.
It should have been a really big movie, and it's just, you know, too small.
Sort of blah. It just didn't happen, right?
Right. It's got some really good intentions, but it carries no more weight than a feather. I'm giving it a C. That is three zines again. Again, worth seeing, but definitely I don't think it was it's on any of the awards lists.
So in other words, nothing profound.
Nothing profound, but it is a decent experience.
Now let's see if Joseph can guess my two favorite Frances McDormand movies. Now, granted, the movies not necessarily she was a main star in, but
Burn
actually,
After Reading?
Let's actually add a third one to the list, actually the top three with her in.
Burn After Reading?
No.
But she was in Fargo?
Fargo's one.
Okay, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't think of...
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous, okay. I can
and
see
the
that.
Third
you
one...
You might like Not Fade Away if you like
I'm going
famous.
To check it out. Yeah, because I was going to say when you were talking about it,
it sounded,
you know, going back in time, Rock Band. Also, Laurel Canyon.
Okay.
With Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah, she's pretty talented. Been
yes.
around a while.
I like the Coen Brothers movies. So,
oh, you know, yeah.
They find some really good actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they didn't discover him, but they
right.
kind of, like, made an actor out of Javier Bardem. And I
oh,
think they
yeah,
kinda
No
did
Country
the,
for All. He
right.
was great
so
in
they kind of did the
yeah.
same with Frances McDormand in mm-hmm. a way. Different way, of course.
Right,
but.
Right.
So now, Struck by Lightning is another movie. This is coming out this weekend. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Shea. This was written by Chris Colfer from Glee. You know that you watch Glee, the TV show?
No.
I do. I'm proud to say that. But Chris Colfer plays a high school student. He's in the movie. He wrote the movie. Whose last few weeks of life include a blackmail scheme concocted by his best friend, Rebel Wilson, a mother, Allison Janney, more interested in the bottle than her son's future, and an estranged father, Dermot Mulroney, who suddenly appears with a pregnant fiancée, Christina Hendricks. And so he gets, right in the beginning of the movie, Chris Colfer's character gets struck by lightning and dies. So that's, you know, right, you know he's not going to survive. They show his funeral in the beginning, and he says, okay, this is what happened in the last few weeks of my life.
Uh-huh.
I am a fan of Glee. I'm a fan of Chris Colfer, but he has written a role for himself that is so snotty and self-righteous that it's downright impossible to root for him to succeed, much less believe that such a character would actually exist in real life without being beaten to a bloody pulp by his peers before promptly getting expelled from each and every school in which he enrolls. It is a nasty, nasty character. I never would believe that this character would exist in real life without, again, being hurt or and just like not being able to get in school. It tries to be really witty. It tries to be smart, but it's all tired cliches in this movie. They're stereotypes. Everything, it's just a very, it's annoyingly arrogant type of movie. Absent of any emotion whatsoever, failing its social message in the process, I'm giving it a D. That is
Ooh.
Two zines. Again, I like you, Chris Colfer, but come up
Didn't
with some
work.
Better material.
Which
does
one?
Have one of the best redheads of all time, of course.
Christina Hendricks, yes.
Yes.
Very
Look
beautiful,
at her picture,
yes.
Dave. You'll
oh.
be excited. You'll,
yes.
I know Jimi Hendrix.
Get her on the show. She might be a little bit older for no, I don't want to say old.
For me?
No, not for me.
Oh.
For me. I'm sticking with Amanda Seyfried. Yes. She's So that's playing exclusively at Harkins Shea 14. Again, is Struck by Lightning. So don't go see it. Not
no,
really worth it.
Not good.
Now, finally, we've got Zero Dark Thirty. This is the one you were waiting for, right?
I think it's up for Best Picture.
Yes, I believe so. And this was directed by Catherine Bigelow, who directed The Hurt Locker, great war
Whoa.
Film,
wow.
right? And I think she won that year, right? Or The Hurt Locker.
Either
it was nominated,
that or,
I know, so, for sure.
Yeah. Could have been The Locker, that one. I'm not sure.
So this is, of course, everyone's talking about this right now because it, they're saying Americans shouldn't see it for, it's some torture stuff in the movie.
They, there is?
Well,
waterboarding?
Yes, waterboarding, and some politicians are calling it out, saying, you know, this is not accurate, this is not how it was done. Okay, it's a movie. Okay, get over it. It's a movie. We're not watching a documentary.
So now,
get over yourself.
In Washington, they're arguing, no,
yes,
that wasn't quite true.
Right.
And then Dick Cheney said, no, it is quite true because I authorized it.
Right. I mean, are people getting all worked up over Texas Chainsaw 3D? Because that is not how it happened. Right. That is a true story, and that's not how it happened. It was in 2D. 2D. So anyway, Zero Dark Thirty. Chris Pratt, Jessica Chastain, and Joel Edgerton play an elite team of intelligence and military operatives who, for more than a decade, who have been working in secret across the globe, devoting themselves to a single goal, find and eliminate Osama bin Laden. Right? Is it good? What do you think, Dave?
Is the movie good?
Is the movie good? Well, it's good that they got Osama bin Laden.
I'm going to say, based on your nonverbal and how you're presenting this, the movie's probably bad, but it was a good thing they got bin Laden.
I'm going to say that you liked it.
I'm going to say you didn't. I'm going to say you gave it a top three zine.
I'm giving it 4 zines.
Yeah.
It's not perfect.
You cheated. What, are you dancing?
I can read the nonverbal differently. Maybe you got to work on your nonverbal
skills. What's up with that?
I'm a great poker player.
That was really good. Let's play poker.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you've seen The Hurt Locker, and this is kind of what brought it down a little bit in my book. Maybe it was just my preconceived notions, and maybe that's unfair. But The Hurt Locker is action, nonstop, tension, right?
I didn't see it.
It is a very action-packed movie, and you are on the edge of your seat as these bombs are about to explode every single minute. This is like, let's see, almost 3 hours long.
Oh, my. There's a lot of long movies out the last couple of weeks.
It's a very long movie, and the first 90 minutes, at least, are just all set up. You know, they go back a few years, and Jessica Chastain's character, you know, is she able to find Osama bin Laden? And people are going to hate me for this, but it was a little bit boring.
Oh,
I found it a little bit boring. It is compelling. It is very intelligent, mm-hmm. but it is, especially if you're looking for something like The Hurt Locker, you're going to be kind of like waiting. Well, okay, when are they going to get Osama bin Laden?
So you need an extra popcorn just to get past.
You're going
to
need
that.
An extra popcorn, but it is worth watching. It is very well done, but you know you're kind of like sitting there fidgeting in your seat. But once you get to the end, of course, this is a true story, and they did get Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. That is earth-shatteringly intense.
Oh.
That is it's just so exciting, so compelling. It's just
thrilling.
It is very thrilling. I mean, you're watching there on the edge of your seat, and I mean, you know that they're going to get Osama bin Laden, but you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And at one point, they're yelling, "Osama, Osama." And he's hiding in a room, and they're saying, "Oh, Osama!" And is he going to come out? And what's going to happen? Are they going to get him? Is someone going to die in the process? Mm-hmm. The way that Catherine Bigelow does this is just outstanding. So, very, very well worth seeing. So,
Jessica Chastain or Christina Hendricks?
I think that some movies, Jessica Chastain, I think she's a better actress. Uh-huh. Not necessarily in this. I didn't care for her as much in this, but. I don't know. It's a toss-up. What do you think there?
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah? Yeah. You like redheads?
I do.
I like Jessica Chastain in I like Jessica Chastain in The Help.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
I missed that one too, but I like
she's a redhead in that.
Yeah.
I like what's her name? Irma Stone, I think.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
I had a chance to Irma Stone. She is. I forgot.
Wait.
I had a chance to talk to her. I guess that's ruined now. I'm not going to have a chance to talk to her again. Yeah. A few years ago. Because she's from here in the Valley.
Scottsdale, yeah.
I'd give her straight A's. Oh, that is her movie.
Easy A?
Easy A, yeah.
At least you knew that, Dave.
I knew that.
She's cute. She's got some nice eyes.
And she's in the Gangster Squad.
Yeah. She's in Gangster Squad. We'll talk about Gangster Squad next week.
Oh, man.
And Superbad was sort of what kind of got her on the map.
Oh, she was in that?
Superbad.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember her. Let's get her live
studio. That might be hard now. But yeah, but Jessica Chastain in The Help. Her character is just hilarious, and she's attractive in that movie. Mm-hmm. But so now let's give out the phone number again for the contest. Again, 206-309-9823. Call and recite a line from your favorite Jason Statham movie in your best English accent, and I will get you VIP seats at the screening. 206-309-9823.
Well, thank you so much, Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
And stay tuned because we're not done. The magazine continues. We have special guests from Kavala Odisio. Did I say that right, Greg?
Good for you, Dave.
Oh, good. And, of course, that's Andy Perez, a publicist, in studio talking about a great show that's happening right now in Scottsdale. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.